If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Jacob Draft Special. Day one is officially in the books. The Eagles, it was a crazy start to the draft, John. 14 straight offensive players, and the Eagles end up with cornerback Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo. Many called him the cornerback one in the NFL draft. I'll just get to you real quick. What's your initial takeaway? I know you gave it to Cilio, but for those who missed it, we'll rehash it. What's your initial takeaway to the pick at 22 overall?
Yeah, I mean, this is the player I had the Eagles taken in my Eagles-only mock draft, and I had him trading up to get him. So the fact that he lasted till 22, I think, is the biggest surprise. But as you mentioned, it was an interesting draft from an offensive perspective. NFL record 14 offensive players coming off the board before a defensive player, and that was Leiatu Latu at number 15 overall in Indianapolis. And that record shattered the old record, which was 7 before an offensive player, before a defensive player. This year it was 14. So if you were looking for a defensive player, and the Eagles weren't necessarily looking for a defensive player. They were interested in some offensive linemen, as we all suspected. But they had a group of players, and obviously Quinyon Mitchell was at the top of that list. Whether it's 1, 2, 3, how we kind of explained the process to us. And, you know, they started to feel very comfortable when they got to that 15th spot, and they felt there were 7 or 8 guys still left on their board that were legitimate first round talents, and they knew they were going to get one. And then you sort of debate, do you want to go up and get one specific one of them? And, you know, there were some talks, but they stayed put, and they were able to get Quinyon Mitchell, a player most people, not only me, but most people that follow the draft had going earlier. And you mentioned some people had him as the cornerback one. He is the cornerback one now. Yeah. No debate about it, because he's the first one off the board. Terrion Arnold went just after him. But I think the Eagles would have been comfortable with either. But clearly, they preferred Mitchell. And we'll see how it shakes out. Maybe, you know, Nick Sirianni has a very close relationship with the head coach at Toledo, and the defensive coordinator is the son of his mentor, Larry Karras. So he has a lot of connections at Toledo. So they felt very good at this about this particular player. And, you know, I think on paper, it looks like a very good pick for the Eagles.
Yeah, it looks good, John. Howie spoke, Quinion spoke. I want to give you a chance to just give your initial takeaways, or if they said anything that stuck out to you before we get into the nitty gritty of the pick. Any key takeaways from general manager Howie Roseman or the newest Philadelphia Eagle, Quinion Mitchell?
Yeah, I mean, Howie seemed pretty happy with the way things unfolded, and I don't blame him. I think, you know, when you're in a draft where six quarterbacks go on the first 12 picks, which was also a record, that six went off that quickly, and you're not in need of a quarterback, you feel really good about that draft, because that's essentially – six players you're not even worried about, you're not even thinking about. And it just makes things a lot easier for you. So I think things broke for him really well in this particular draft. You had a bunch of quarterback desperate teams. I would argue, you know, probably three of those six were legitimate first round picks. And then you have the desperation of some of those quarterback desperate teams and pushing guys up the board. And when you push up guys like J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. went number eight, that was the biggest shock of all. You know, good players get pushed down, and I think that's what kind of happened for the Eagles.
Yeah, it really worked in their favor. Did it seem to you that Howie still kind of wanted to go offense, but when the board broke the way it did, he felt good going defense, or was I wrong to take that away from his press conference?
No, I mean, always, you know, it would never surprise me, and it wouldn't have surprised me at 22 if they went offensive line, because this was such a deep offensive line draft, and it still is, and there's going to be a bunch of good offensive linemen coming off the board early in the second round as well. There's just so many good ones and so many to choose from. But once the top tier, the really, really top tier ones went and were off the board, I think they shifted directions toward the corners. But, you know, if you think about J.C. Latham, that was a guy I think the Eagles had significant interest in. And all of a sudden it became very clear. In fact, I was just talking to somebody walking over to Howie's press conference, and, you know, we're talking about Latham and the fact that a few reporters started to leak that out there, that J.C. Latham maybe was in play. And, you know, he basically said, be careful, because he's going to go in the top 10. So the Eagles had a feel that they weren't going to be in the mix for him, and that shifts things. And, so that's kind of what happens in the draft when you're 22. There's always going to be players, you know, in a best case scenario world, maybe you would have went in that direction. But, you know, that's why you understand certain guys aren't going to be there, and you start focusing in on the guys that might be there. And of that group, I think Mitchell was at the top of the list, you know, and that's why I kind of move toward him in my last mock draft, and you know, had the Eagles going up to trade for him, because they had significant interest in him. That wasn't one of it, you know, sometimes you hear these teams, Sander, they say, oh, we always wanted this guy, and it just, the board didn't feel their way, and they couldn't trade down, and they have to take somebody. It happened with Marcus Smith back in the day with the Eagles. That was not the case here. This was a player they really liked, and he did fall fall further than they would have expected going into the draft.
Yeah, and quite a few players did. I think the Eagles probably, I know they run through as many scenarios as possible leading up to the draft, but I'd like to believe that they had a choice between more players – at 22 than they were anticipating, which is a good problem to have if you're a general manager and you're picking at 22, right? Didn't have to move up, and they got a guy they valued high. But John, let's move into they got the pick. They got the cornerback. They got Quinyon Mitchell. How does he fit on this team? I know he's an outside cornerback, but boy, there's a lot of names in that cornerback room. Now, they're not all great, but there is a lot of names. What does this mean for who we have in that room? How does Quinyon shake it up? And, you know, what are the ripple effects of it? Who's moving where? Are some of them moving inside? What's that look like?
Well, I think the biggest ripple effect is ultimately, I think James Bradbury's going to be released, or, you know, I'm sure the Eagles will try to trade him. And who knows, they might be able to get something for him, because there are a lot of cornerback desperate teams around the NFL. I think he's still got something left in the tank, but I don't see how they move forward with James Bradbury now, as on this roster, because, you know, he's not going to be a backup player at this stage of his career. He's not going to help you on special teams. He's not very versatile. He can't move him inside. He can't play a bunch of different positions. So it's either starter or bust. And, I would leave the door open slightly ajar, maybe 5-10%, because, I mean, you could always have that insurance policy and play it through August. And if Quinyon Mitchell doesn't look ready to start early, it's not the worst thing in the world to let a young player learn a little bit from a veteran like Bradbury, along with Slay. And Slay's a guy who Quinyon Mitchell has said consistently he models his game after. So he's got tremendous respect for Darius Slay. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to start him slowly, but I think if you're being honest with yourself, the Eagles want him to be a starting cornerback right away, and that probably means there's no room for James Bradbury. And, you know, I think the Eagles have plenty of developmental corners with Isaiah Rogers joining, now that he's back from the gambling suspension, joining Kaylee Ringo and joining Eli Rakes. I think they have a lot of good young corners who are developmental pieces. So their cornerback room looks pretty good right now. That's not to say that there's not going to be hiccups with a rookie corner. There certainly will be, but very high ceiling, very high upside for Quinyon Mitchell.
So the early expectation from you is that Quinyon will be a day one starter. Originally, I was thinking maybe they would keep Bradbury playing through the year. I know his contract is a little tough to move on from, but that's something that Howie's good at. I'll let him work his magic on that. But your early thoughts are that Quinyon will be a day one starter.
Yeah, I mean, that's the reality of the modern NFL. You know, all first round picks are expected to get on the field and be compete pretty quickly. You saw
well, it wasn't the case for Nolan Smith.
Well, and you see how disappointed people are. Yeah, that's exactly where I was going.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not easy. And especially as you get down to 20 to 30, obviously, if you're talking about a top 10 pick, now you definitely want those guys on the field early. And then 10 to 20, you better get some significant playing time. And 20 to 30, you still want. And you see it with Nolan Smith, and that people were really disappointed that he didn't have a bigger role. And there's even some jumping the gun and calling him a bust and things like that. The good news is, I think, 22 is 22, and you are where you were picked. And, you know, Howie joked that, you know, it was depressing. Someone told him, no matter who you pick at what spot, you're the high bidder. And he said, that's a depressing way to think about it, which was kind of funny. And he's right, though. And they're the high bidder on Quinyon Mitchell. And he's the 22nd pick. But I do think, and I don't think this is spin, because a lot of teams spin. You know, it's not normal that 14 offensive players go off the board. It's not normal that six quarterbacks go in the first 12 pick. So I think in a normal year, he's not the 22nd pick. He's probably 15, 16, somewhere in that range. So from that standpoint, I think the Eagles got good value. And if he were the 15th pick, yeah, you would say you want him to be a day one starter.
Yeah, and I mean, mock draft season is now behind us, but it feels like I mean, before this draft and before the, you know, we saw the way the board shook, many people, including yourself, as you just said a minute ago, including Dan Cilio, host of the National Football Show, they had this guy ranked a lot higher than 22. You anticipated a potential trade up in your final mock draft. Dan had him ranked as his seventh overall player, not mocked seventh, but seventh best player in the draft. So it certainly does look like they got great value because of the way the board broke, because of the quarterbacks, because of all the offensive talent that went off the board. So it does look like it could be good from that perspective for the Eagles.
Yeah, and you know, that's why, you know, they're, Howie is excited that he still has 50 and 53, because I think, you know, as I got here earlier, much earlier, about 7 hours earlier now, I think the thought from the Eagles were, we're probably not going to have 50 and 53 on day two, because we're probably going to have to use one of those picks to go up to get the player we want to get. And all of a sudden, they get him, and they still have 50 and 53. So I think there's a lot of optimism and positivity that they still have two picks at you know, so to have three overall picks in the, in the top 53 of the draft. I think they were focused on getting a difference maker and getting two of those top 53 picks. Now they're in a position to get all three, and who knows, maybe they'll package him to go up and get somebody tomorrow. So a lot of different, a lot of optionality, to use a Sam Hinkie word.
Yeah, that was my next point, and we'll get there to close out the show on what the Eagles might do on day two now they do have both 50 and 53. But, John, everybody's talking about it. I got to ask you, any concern? There's always concern at pick 22 in the draft. I mean, across the board, every single team, in a way, it's a crapshoot. There's always risk involved. How risky is this player? And when I say that, I mean the MAC conference didn't play against a lot of great talent. You're going to have the classic comparison to, you know, both corners. He and Terrion Arnold were there. Eagles chose Mitchell. Their careers will kind of be looked at under a microscope by Eagles fans, at least here in Philadelphia. Does that concern you at all, any of the MAC conference stuff, you know, the competition at the college level? For me, I got to be honest, it does a little bit concern me, especially in the modern NFL where these high-powered passing offenses exist. But what's your take on it?
No, not particularly. I mean, there's so many good players around the NFL that go to non-Power 5 schools. If you want to go to Dallas Goedert on this team right now, you know, from South Dakota State, and you know, there's so many players I've covered. I always talk about, you know, Hall of Famers I've covered. John Randall went to Texas A&I. You know, I mean, there are so many big-time players from smaller schools, and for whatever reason, maybe have to take a different path. Now, maybe they don't go in the first round like Quinyon Mitchell, but Toledo's not Texas A&I either. I mean, there's levels. It's a hell of a lot bigger than South Dakota State, and Dallas Goedert's just fine. So, you know, Howie kind of mentioned, you do want to see, you know, when you do see somebody at maybe a non-Power 5, you want to see them stand out more on the film. And he did. You know, he dominated generally in that level of football. Now, you know, and if you're playing at Alabama, and the Eagles have gone that way over the past couple of years in Georgia, obviously you're playing the top tier level of college football, and it's easier probably to judge, but you're also probably not going to have guys who dominate. And as long as, you know, if you're playing at Toledo maybe and you're good and maybe you have some great physical traits, yeah, they'll worry about that level of competition. But when you really stand out and you dominate, I think it shows an indication that you're probably...
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Going to be pretty good at the next level. And again, I can give you a laundry list of 100 guys that have played at smaller schools. Adam Thielen's a guy I covered early in his career, went to Minnesota State, turned into a 3-4-time Pro Bowl player. So there's so many of them. Chester Taylor went to Toledo. He was a big-time running back for a while in this league. So there's a litany of guys, including guys on every team that aren't from Power 5 conferences.
John, how well does Quinyon fit in this new defense with Vic Fangio? And how much does he improve this defense, a player of his caliber, a player at that position? What does he do for this defense, and how much better does he make it? Or is it a smaller piece of the pie if you had to compare it to, you know, 1 to 10? A.J. Brown's a 10 on offense, and how much he changes and makes the offense better. How much better does Quinyon Mitchell, if he pans out and is the player we think he is, how big of a role and how much better does he make this defense?
Well, yeah, I wouldn't, you know, I'm not going to expect AJ level dominance as a rookie, you know, maybe 3-4 years down the road, you know, maybe develops into a Pro Bowl level corner. That's probably your best case scenario. I've said it pretty consistently. I'm concerned with any rookie corner from the standpoint of playing in this particular scheme because it's so communication heavy, and there's going to be miscommunication. There's going to be blown coverages, and it's a very football passionate city. And when that kind of happens, you know, it might not even be his fault, but people are going to see, you know, maybe the safety blows the coverage, and people are going to see people run by Quinyon and say, oh, what's going on? And it's kind of difficult. But, you know, I was also talking to a GM because I was told by, and I mentioned this on the show, Birds 365, I talked to 3 different scouts, and they all said Arnold's probably the better fit for Vic Fangio's scheme, at least right away. And, you know, but Mitchell has the higher ceiling as a player. And then a former GM told me, hey, you know what? Things move so quickly in this league.
Yeah.
You might have a different scheme next year. If yeah. Nick Sirianni doesn't reach expectations and he's let go, you're probably going to bring in a new coach who wants his own defensive coordinator. You might have a completely different defensive system. And I said, you know what? You're right. You can't worry about a scheme that might be here for, you know, hopefully it's here for 10 years and Nick's successful and Vic's successful, but that's probably unrealistic and things move so quickly in this league, take the better player. And I think that's what the Eagles did.
I agree with that. John, moving into day two now, good day one, I would argue, for the Eagles. They got the player they wanted. They got Quinyon Mitchell.
And now they got A.J. Brown. Don't forget. We already forget. Essentially the two-year anniversary because
which is funny.
Traded for A.J. on the first day of the draft in 2022.
Yep.
You get A.J. Brown done, and you get Quinyon Mitchell. Yeah, Eagles are sticking out their chest tonight.
Yeah, pretty funny. Devontae Smith took a little shot at Big Sills for his trolling of A.J. Brown after that deal came down. So pretty good stuff there. John, moving into tomorrow, though, 50 and 53 overall. What do you think they will do? What would you like them to do? What's your opinion? And then what's your report on the way you think they'll go? I know they're probably two different things.
Yeah, I got to look at, when you're at the draft and the Eagles take their pick and then
we get into
Quinyon. So I haven't even really looked at the back end of the draft and all the players that were taken, but I do.
A little bit of a run on wide receivers at the end of the first.
Yeah, night. I did see Leggett, and that was one of those things where.
And Andy Reid grabs Xavier Worthy. I think that's a home run pick for the Chiefs.
Yeah, 4-2-1, trying to get some Tyreek Hill like speed.
Yeah.
We'll see if he can track the football like Tyreek.
Yeah, I said that's what I said. Yep.
He's probably got less kids than Tyreek. That story broke today. Tyreek's got 10 kids.
Yeah, so.
Offensive line, because they didn't get an offensive lineman on day one, and it's such a deep position, and I think there's still going to be good players there at 50 and 53. I'm not sure there's going to be a fit at linebacker because I really think there's only one guy I would take in that range, and that's Adrian Cooper, and I think he probably won't make it there. But you never know. A lot of people I know, Andrew DiCicco was on the show. He likes Junior Colson. I don't like him as much as Cooper. He's kind of vice versa. He likes Colson more. I think Cooper would be a better fit for the Eagles. There's tight end could be an option. They still need a backup tight end unless you're confident and 32-year-old C.J. Uzomah, which, I think they could persevere with him, but I think they would like to get a younger body at that position.
Yeah, and ever since we got rid of Zach Ertz, boy, tight end two has not been great for the Eagles. I know Jack Stoll has some contribution.
No, Jack is solid, but, he's a blocker. Oh, and he wasn't going to catch football. And edge rusher, I should mention. I mean, Marshawn Nealand's a guy they did a lot of homework on. If he keeps falling a little bit, he's in that range. I think he could be in the mix. I don't think any safeties are going to be relevant that early in the process. I'm trying to think of other positions off the top of my head. Receiver, they still need a third receiver as much as they're paying AJ and Devontae. Yeah. It'd still be nice to get an upgrade over Paris Campbell.
It wouldn't surprise me if they went that route.
Yeah, so there's a lot of ways they can go. It won't be as always with the Eagles, and that's, why a lot of teams make mistakes, and they'll go with the best player on their board and say, we'll make it fit rather than, it would be nice to get a linebacker. I would say that.
Yeah, a lot of people are calling for that. You see a bunch of fans in our chat box right now saying we need a real Mike linebacker. So we'll see how it breaks. I, Edgar and Cooper, I think they're going to have to go up to get him. And I don't think Howie Roseman is going to package picks to move up for a linebacker. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But I just don't see that happening. And I don't know if he would like the other guys enough over the other players available, say Junior Colson, you know, to grab them. But we'll see how it breaks.
Yeah, I think they're in no man's land with Cooper. But we'll see. Neiland is a guy who might fall. Cooper Beebe is a guy, offensive guard. He could be a day one starter at right guard if he falls. I think he could be. And if you can get a day one starter at 50 or 53, that's good. That's good value, to say the least. So I think that would be my most likely scenario. There's going to be a good offensive lineman somewhere in that range.
Yeah, I could see them doing that as well. And you look at, you know, Landon Dickerson was a second rounder. Cam Jurgens, I believe he was a second rounder. So that's kind of been their
Landon went early in the second round.
Right, Landon was
51st overall. So right in that range, 53, he was 51st. So he was right in that range. And now he was coming in as a different type of player as the heir apparent to Jason Kelce. So he wasn't expected to play early, but he's developing nicely. And I think somebody like BB could, you know, you have a need at right guard. He could at least compete and push Tyler Steen at the bare minimum. And, you know, the old iron sharpens iron. That wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, and you have Jeff Stoutland. I mean, Stoutland University's graduation rate's 90% plus. If you have a coach that good, I think you dip in the later rounds. And I wouldn't be surprised if they went that route as well. John, I want to end it with this. This is a tweet from Elliot Shore Parks of 94WIP, and it goes back to who they selected in round one. Eagles are going to have some tough decisions to make at corner in camp. Slay, Bradbury, Mitchell, Ringo should all feel like they deserve a starting spot. Ricks, Rogers, Maddox, Hall, Garner all have upside, and the draft isn't over. That's a crowded cornerback room, so it's a good problem to have. Like we always say, you'd rather have more talent than less talent, but boy, that's a crowded room, and I do feel like there's some good names in there, some good young players, so it'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out.
Yeah, I like the Eagles. They're certainly deeper. I think they learned from last year. Some bad luck with Zach McPherson, who people forget he's back as well. Avonte Maddox getting injured early in the nickel slot and really put him behind the eight ball. And then they had a bunch of guys playing out of position, Ricks and Sidney Brown and young players. I'm going to disagree with Elliot and say, you know, Ringo, who's a player I love, you know, he's not going to think of himself as a starter at this stage of his career. And even Mitchell coming in as a rookie, you're not going to walk in and say, oh, I got to be the starter. So, but I don't think Bradbury's going to be here by August. And we'll see. I hope I'm wrong because I love him as a guy. I love him as a player. I think he'd be a great fit for a big Fangio defense. So I hope I'm wrong. But I don't even think he's going to be here at the start of training camp. We'll see if they trade him or cut him. But you draft a first-round corner for a reason. And for the Eagles, you know, the hope is to get this year Slay on one side, Mitchell on the other. And long-term, it's Mitchell and Ringo you're hoping develop into your two starters on the outside.
Yep, so the plan is in place. We'll see how it all shakes out. Everybody has to obviously live up to their expectation or play up to the standard that they set for themselves, which is the hard part of this whole thing. But, John, I'll let you get out of here. Drive home safe from the NovaCare Complex. We're going to be back live bright and early with you and Mike Gill, two guests lined up already on Birds 365. And then coming out of that, we'll have Dan Cilio, his reaction at 10 a.m. tomorrow. Special show for Dan, who has his daughter's graduation tomorrow night. So congrats to her. But John, thank you very much for stepping in. Thanks for giving us a breakdown here on the Eagles' first round pick. John, can I get you to give us a grade on the way out? A grade of the first round pick. I know it's tough.
I don't give A's for first round picks because they've never played a down of NFL. But I'll go B plus. It worked out as well as the Eagles possibly could have hoped. And you know what? If you want to add the AJ extension, I'll give it an A as a day for the Eagles.
That's true. Yeah, now he's thinking ahead again. That contract will be a bargain in a couple months.
Yeah. And it doesn't, the big money doesn't kick into 2027. Then it'll be a real bargain.
It's going to be like shopping at the thrift store by that point.
Yeah, it's amazing. Teams don't copy what the Eagles do. But
hey. Well, you always say it, John. It's a credit to, you know, the owner because he gives Howie the freedom to do it, and Howie knows his job's not on the line. Half these other GMs, they're working on a 1 to 3 year window where they either win or they get fired. So,
yeah, that's why you got Coupals taking J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr. Because they're desperate. Well, in the case of Atlanta, I don't know what they're doing because they just paid a quarterback $100 million and then they're drafting one in the top 10.
What is that, John? What do you make
of it? I don't know. Even Kirk Cousins' agent was out there saying, I have no idea what they're doing. It's a bad situation. But hey,
well, they took him at 28. They took him at 8 overall.
I know. And that was the first shock moment. And I think a lot of people are saying, what are you doing? Including Kirk Cousins' agent.
Yeah, maybe including Arthur Blank, who just shelled out $200 million for Kirk Cousins and now has another first-round quarterback on his books. But we'll see.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. And that's the thing that generally, I say all the time, nobody gets everything right. I think people misunderstand. The Eagles are going to miss on picks. They might even miss on Quinyon Mitchell. But generally, when the Eagles make decisions, I always say they make sense. You can't say that about a lot of other teams in the NFL.
Yep, I would agree with that sentiment for sure. You can at least see the reason, see the logic, and why Howie does the things he does. Whether you like it or not is beside the point. You can see the reason for doing it. And you certainly can't say that about every team in the NFL. John, drive home safe. Thank you for the hit tonight, brother. We'll see you in the morning on Birds 365. All right.
Yeah, you might have to wake me up, Sanders. So get ready with the text.
Text in the morning.
All right, see you, bud.
All right, see you. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to hit the like button on the way out. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel. We will have you with Eagles coverage all offseason long, all through training camp, all into the much-anticipated 2024 season. I want to see a little chat check, guys. Give me a grade on this pick in the chat. I like it. I like Quinyon Mitchell. I think he's a good player. I saw some of his highlights from the Senior Bowl. Really looked good against some good talent. The Mac thing concerns me, but you heard John kind of put it to rest and why it's not that big of a deal. Really comes down to the player and doesn't always matter where they play or whether they went to Alabama or in this case, Toledo. There's Griffin, gives it a B, maybe can be an A. I'm with John. I think with the extension, it can kind of push it up from a B to an A, but we'll see how it shakes out. Obviously, it's tough to give a grade on a player who, as Cilio says, hasn't even gotten his jockstrap. There's Twiz the Jigga giving it an A. What's up, Twiz? Good to see you, man. All right, everybody, that'll do it for tonight's coverage of the NFL Draft Day 1. We'll be back live tomorrow night after each pick. Day 2, they got two picks, 50 and 53. It'll be interesting to see which way they go. I know a lot of you want a linebacker. I don't see it, guys. We'll see what Howie does. Maybe if the board falls in round 2 like it did in round 1, they could go that route. But I'm not so sure that's going to be Howie's move. I think a wide receiver is in play. I wouldn't be surprised to see them add more to the offense because I don't think they love their options at wide receiver 3. And a lot of teams are pushing now to get more weapons, even the Bears. I mean, they have DJ Moore, they have Keenan Allen, and they just drafted Rome Odunze for Caleb Williams. So if Caleb Williams is halfway decent in year 1, they could be a pretty good team. So That seems to be the trend in the NFL is offense, offense, offense. So it wouldn't surprise me to see how we go that route. Thanks, everybody, again, for tuning in. Hit that like button on your way out. We'll catch you in the morning on Birds 365. See you next time, everyone.
Need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, oh.